Well, today we're going to conclude our series on characters of the Bible. Now, some of you may be happy saying, Pastor, it's about time. This series has been about twice as long as any series I've ever done before. But how many know there's a lot of characters in the Bible, and we just barely touching the tip of the iceberg. There's so many characters we can talk about, and even in characters, there's so many stories you can tell about those characters and so many messages. It's been a fun series for me, and I hope that you have enjoyed it as well and are growing. I think that there's a common link, not that we set out to show this common link, but if we really look at the common thread that has kind of twined it all together and has interweaved all these messages together, I think you'll see two things. In most of these stories we've talked about, you'll see the people that God used, most of them were the most unlikely people to be used of God. Prostitutes, people who ran houses of prostitution, adulterers, people who were chicken, Barney-fied type people, like Gideon, who were shaking in their boots. I mean, people who were the most unlikely people to be used of God that God chose to use. And also another thread was God's amazing grace in their life, how God used amazing grace in their life and Paul's life and people like that who he used amazing grace that we sung about this morning in their life. But another thread we see is they all had great faith too. They all operated in this great faith. And today I hope your heart is challenged through the series that God wants to use you. That God can use, if he can use any of these people, he can use you as well. And to operate in faith. And I'm going to close this message out today, the series out with this message on Abraham. We're going to talk about this man of faith and how we can learn from Abraham's faith. And I hope it will cement in your heart what we've been talking about over the last several weeks of summer as we've looked at characters of the Bible, looking at Bible characters and character traits about them. And Hebrews 11 speaks about an older man named Abraham. And Abraham was a man that we see here in Hebrews 11:8. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was received for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. It's by faith that God said, Abraham, I'm going to give you this land for an inheritance. I want to bless you with this land. Go to it. And he didn't know where he was going. He really didn't know what he was going to receive, but we see by faith he went, and by faith he received. He was in a land called Ur. The story begins there as God spoke to Abraham. Ur was a land near present-day Iraq and Iran. But he was calling him. He said, go down to Israel. I'm giving you some new land down there. And so he didn't know where he was going. He didn't really know other than his head toward Israel, and then I'll tell you what to do. And it says that in faith that Abraham, he left in obedience. He left right away to inherit the land that God had given him. Sometimes God is going to tell us a place that we have not gone before, but tell you to go there. Sometimes God's going to ask you to go a place that you're not familiar with. As we looked at all these stories in the Bible, this is kind of like Abraham's story here, that God speaks to people in unfamiliar places. I want you to do this. I know you've never done this. I know you're not trained to do this. I know this goes against all your fears. I know this goes against everything that I've asked you to do before, but I'm asking you to step out in faith. Isn't it amazing? I just tell you this truth. Can we just speak, Pastor, here, to the people this morning, to our people? Can I just speak to you as a pastor's heart and say, one of the things that has always puzzled me as a pastor is, how many know that we are a nation of people who love to gamble? Now, don't lie to me. Some of you say, well, Pastor, I've never been to Vegas. No, but you've been down here to downstream to the casino. But no, I just don't go there. What I'm talking about, I mean that, how many today know that when you get in your car and turn it on, you're taking a gamble where it's going to start or not? Some of you said, Pastor, do you know what kind of car I'm driving? That's what I'm talking about. I've had some of those cars, and my cars are like that sometimes. Lord, let it start up this morning. How many know that when we drive down the road, we're taking a gamble? We don't have a wreck. How many know we'll gamble on our 401k, and we'll gamble on the stock market, and we'll gamble on investments overseas? We'll gamble on our retirement. Oh, this year, you know, I love this time of the year. As we were talking this morning, football kicked off this weekend with college football, and NFL is coming up this week. I mean, we have a lot of guys I know that like to play sports here. And every year, I mean, everybody's number one right now, isn't it? You know, this is the year. My team's going to turn it around. This is the year, you know, and this is it. You know, we gamble, you know, in our heart. We're thinking, you know, this is going to be the year. We put our trust that our team is going to win, and there's only one team that's really going to win. We put our trust in so many things. Well, you know, we put our trust that tomorrow when I go to work, you know, I'm not going to lose my job. I mean, we gamble in so many areas of our life. Some of us will even have enough brave to go out there and sit in front of a slot machine. Give me another quarter. I mean, we gamble. Let's hope we know. You know, it was G.T. Studd, no relation to me. G.T. Studd, who once said it like this. I know it was a bad joke. I can't help pass it up. He made a statement one time that said, "Where are the gamblers for God?" He said, "People will gamble for gold, but they won't gamble for God." And I, as a pastor, I think that's kind of a true statement. I wonder, where are the gamblers for God? And when I say gamblers for God, I mean, who are those ready to take a risk? To say, "God, yeah, I'm ready for what you tell me to do. I'll do it. God, I'll trust you to do something different in my life. God, I'll trust you to take me to an area I've never been." Here's Abraham. God says, "Hey, Abraham, I'm going to make you, you know, this great father of many nations, and then I'm going to give you this land of inheritance, all these things I want to bless you with. Go to Israel. It's over here. Go this way, and I'll show you what to do when you get there." And, "All right, God." And he goes. I mean, he didn't know when he'd get there, what he's going to have, whether he'd have a piece of land about this big. I mean, he didn't know what he was going to have when he got there. But he was obedient to do what God told him to do. Abraham had a faith in God. We talked about it last week, that God is worried about me following directions more than he is about giving me the answers. That many times we want answers, we want answers, we want answers. "God, what are you, when are you going to do this? God, when are you going to answer this question? God, when are you going to take care of this?" And God says, "I'll tell you when you follow directions." And many times instead of giving us answers, God will give us directions that will lead us to the answers. Because he's testing our obedience. And we see this happening right here in Abraham's life, where God is testing his obedience. "Abraham, go down to Israel." "All right, God, I'll go." And as he goes down to Israel, we see that he went down there. He got his nephew Lot, and he divided the land, all this stuff that happened. And then we see God says, "Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of many nations." And Abraham's like, "Dude, I'm 100 years old. My wife's 100 years old. God, you're a little late for this one." How many women today would love to have a baby at 50? Not too many of you. Can you imagine having one at 100 years old? I mean, it's not humanly possible. Her time to conceive had already passed. Her womb had dried up, and Abraham says, "Hey, God, you know, this is an awesome thing, but, you know, I'm not having no son." And God says, "Yes, you are. You're going to have a son." So Abraham got so excited that it says he went down to Sarah's concubine. And he slept with the maidservant, Hagar. And Hagar had a son, Ishmael. And Abraham's like, "This must have been it." For those of you thinking, Abraham's an idiot. Well, he was an idiot, but that was in that particular time, he was allowed to do that, okay? It wasn't forbidden at the time for him to do that. So he actually thought he was going to have a son through Hagar, the younger maidservant of his wife, Sarah. And, of course, how many know that's a recipe for disaster right there? "Well, honey, God, it's all right. God told me I had to have a son, and I knew that, you know, she could still give me a son. You know, I love you and all, but, you know, it's past your time." And, of course, we see the story unfold like it would have any story. You know, the wife's, our buddy Hagar, is butting heads with Sarah. Sarah's like, "I don't want this woman even near my family, you know. You take you and your son, you get out of here." And finally, God speaks. This is Hatfield McCoy's thing going on between these two women, the dissension and fighting, and God's like, "Abraham, you blew it. This is not what I told you. I said I want to give you a son with you and Sarah, and you try to do your own thing here, and you have Ishmael. Now take Hagar, and I want you to take Ishmael and pack them up, and I want you to send them away. I'm going to take care of them. They're going to be okay, but you have got to keep peace in your family. Send them away, and I've got a plan for you and Sarah." And so he came back, and of course he's obedient. He said, immediately got up that morning, he sent them away. And then God does something in their life. He allows them to impregnate Sarah and gives them a son, Isaac. What a miracle this was. He's waited all of his time for his son. And he finally had a son in Ishmael, and God told him to give him away, to send him away. And so when he finally had Isaac through Sarah, of course, knowing this was a miracle from God, his heart was immediately turned and said, like, "God, yes, you have given me the son I have so desired. Here I am later on in my life. I'm 100 years old, and God, you've blessed me with my son." I mean, Isaac became the apple of his eye. And I mean, you know how grandpas are anyway, you know, with their grandchildren. Can you imagine a grandpa having a son for the first time? You know how that had that sparkle in your eye and how those grandkids become just everything, you know. And it's almost probably the same kind of relationship here as he was so much difference in age, you know, and his son, that he was actually probably more like a great-grandpa to him. And you can imagine how he probably wanted to spoil him and how much he cared for him and the apple of his eye. And he loved Isaac so much because he was God's promise fulfilled in him. But we see something happening here. We've seen where God had to speak to him, and God spoke to him about it, said, hey, I want you to sacrifice your son Isaac. And we see something here that I wanted to talk to you about. The first thing when it comes to walking in faith, we see where immediate obedience is what God calls faith. Immediate obedience is what God calls faith. That we see all through this pattern in Abraham's life that he immediately obeyed God. As we read in the life of Abraham, it always starts off like this. You see these things happening. Early in the morning, he saddled his donkey and did what God asked him to do. We see that time and time again. Early in the morning, God would speak to Abraham many times at nighttime, either through a dream or in his heart. But he would speak to Abraham at night, and it says, and he would always say, early in the morning, he would get up and obey what God told him to do. Look what it says in Genesis 21:14. So Abraham arose early in the morning and took bread of a skin of water and gave them to Hagar, and he sent her away. God spoke to him in the middle of the night, send Hagar and Ishmael away. So he gets up next morning, early in the morning, and does it. And then after he has Isaac, we see right here in Genesis 22:3. After he has Isaac, and God speaks to Abraham about sacrificing Isaac through the night, look what Abraham does. So Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took Isaac, his son, split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place which God had told him to go. We see this thing in Abraham's life that I believe is our goal. Our goal is to make godly decisions without long deliberation. That should be our goal, is to make these godly decisions without long deliberation. We should do them immediately. That Abraham, when God would speak to Abraham at night and in the morning, he would get up and obey. There was something about the faith of Abraham that, you know, I don't think I had that yet. And I want to be there, and I'm working, and God would give it to me. But I want to learn to be obedient right then. And when God asks me to give things up right away, I'm obedient to do that. And I believe that many of us miss out on what God has for us because we wait to be obedient. I can remember times in my life when I was, especially on as an early Christian, God would speak to me about doing things. And I can remember doing them. I can remember God saying one time, he spoke to me one night clearly and said, I want you to get some of these things, and I want you to take some of these things you have that you know aren't pleasing to me, and put them in a bag, and I want you to throw them away. And I remember getting music and other things that I had that I just knew that God wasn't pleased with my life. No one came to me and said, get rid of it. But God spoke to me, and I knew that he wanted me to get rid of it. So I took these things, and I put them in a bag, and I threw them away. The trash was coming the next morning, so I got out early and put it down in the trash. And as it was going down the road, my heart was saying, you dummy! Do you know how much money you just threw away? And my heart was like, oh, I wanted to chase after that thing. I was like, I wanted to just take out after that truck. It's like, oh, you made a mistake. I didn't mean to throw that away. But I had to let it go. And you know why? Because if I hadn't, my heart would have been so compelled, I'd have went through digging through the trash earlier that day. If I'd have just thrown it away, if it had been there all week, I'd have went through the trash and I'd have pulled some of that junk out. How many times, I mean, think about it. How many times has God spoken to you? If you have an addiction with something, how many times has God spoken to you to get rid of it? And if you take the thing you're addicted to and you say, all right, God, I'm going to get rid of it, and you take it out and put it out in your garage and shut the door, how many knows that thing's going to be yelling at you all week long? But when God says get rid of it, get rid of it. If you obey, get rid of it right then. Put it away, man, burn it, throw it in the trash, get it out of there so when you get tempted, you can't go back to it. It's a part of the separation. See, God wants to see, are you going to be obedient? If you're suffering with an addiction today and God tells you to stop doing something, I mean, you got to get that thing out of your home. You got to get that thing out of your car. You got to get those things out and get rid of them. Get them away from where you are. Because immediate obedience will bring the deliverance that God wants to bring to your life. And God's seeing, can you do that? And it's not just that. There's other things in our life we see where God speaks. I read a story about a National Geographic photographer who was wanting to take some pictures of an eagle's nest with the eggs in there. But how many know eagle's nests are not very easy to get to? And most of the time, they're really high. And he was talking about this cliff that was about 2,000 feet up and how he had to get to this cliff. And the way this eagle nest was, this cliff went out like this, and then it had a kind of a nook, and then went back in like this here. And there was a little nook, and that little nook was where the eagle's nest was. And it was about 2,000 feet high. And so in order to get there, he had to climb the other side of the mountain, and he had a rope to actually propel down. And as he's propelling down, in order to get back to where the eagle's nest was, he had to jump out and come back and let the pendulum kind of just bring him back toward the cliff. And he grabbed that, and he had his camera on the rope and everything else, and he's taking pictures. And as he's taking pictures and he climbed himself in position, he realized that his rope all of a sudden gave away and let go. There's no way down. Without a rope, this was a straight drop. He was not a cliff climber. You know, this wasn't like, you know, he could take the edges down. I mean, it was smooth all the way up there. And he knew that if he didn't grab that rope, that he's going to be stuck up there. And he knew that that rope was going to go out like a pendulum and come back. And if he missed it the first time, but the next time he came back, it would go a little further out and a little further out, and eventually he would stand still out there in the middle where he couldn't get to it. And he knew in his mind that he had to go for it the first time because it was going to be the closest to him. And so as it came back, he lunged out and grabbed it with everything he had and got a hold of it. Because that was his only way out. And I think that's the same way it is with us, that many times when God speaks to us, if we'll be obedient right away, it's the most clearest thing. Because when we disobey and we don't go for it right away, it gets further and further and further away. And it gets harder and harder and harder to obey. That God wants us to obey right away. God's looking for faith in people who will obey right away, even when it doesn't make sense to you. Even when you don't understand it all. Even when God says, I want you to sacrifice the very thing you love the most. Boy, it's hard, isn't it? God spoke to Abraham to sacrifice the very thing he loved the most. He said, I want you to sacrifice your son. God wants you to get to a place where you can be obedient and not turn back. Learn to be obedient and not turn back. Look what, I love the scripture in Matthew 5:13. It says that we are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except be thrown out and trampled under your feet. How many know that salt, that when it's put on, when you use salt and you put it on your meal, what's its job? Brings flavor and it seasons it. How many know the salt don't sit there and say, you know what? I think I'll season this meat today. Hang on a second. How many of you grains today are with me? How many want to flavor this thing or not? I mean, salt doesn't take time to decide I'll flavor or I won't flavor. They just do as they're, that's what they do. It's what they're created to do is they pour the salt on it, creates flavor, and it brings seasoning. It's the same way with us that God says, we're the salt of the earth. We it's this faith thing. It's who we're created to be. He wants us to be just like that. He wants us to have faith that says, God, whatever you ask me to do, whatever you put me on, God, I will say yes to your will. Yes, I will do it. God is looking for obedience that is quick. God's looking for obedience that doesn't question him. When Isaac was born, Abraham was a recipient of God's promise. God had promised him a son. He felt he had to protect Isaac. And God said to Abraham, I'm going to have to do something to you to switch your heart back to me, because Abraham, you used to really have a heart for me first. But I see where Isaac is becoming an idol in your life. I see where Isaac is, you're loving Isaac more than you love me. I see where Isaac is getting your affection. Isaac's getting all your time. Isaac's getting all your attention. You've kind of neglected our relationship. So I've got to do something to switch your heart back to me. And so he said, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son Isaac. What's Abraham do? Early the next morning, he gets up. He says, okay, God. And he gets up and he says, we're going. We're heading off. We're going to do this thing. Which goes on to our second point, which God wants our heart. God wants my heart. And many times he'll ask you to give up that thing that is so dear to you. He'll ask you to give up sometimes the things that you love the most, because he wants to test your heart. Do you really love me? Do you really love me? Do you really love me as much as you say you do? That's what he was saying to Abraham. Abraham, do you really love me as much as you say you do? Then I know I blessed you with the son, but now I want you to give him up as a sacrifice to me. Look what it says here in Genesis 22:10. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. Abraham needed to honor God more than anyone else. Abraham needed to honor God more than anyone else. And what God was doing here, he was testing. He was testing to see, Abraham, are you willing to sacrifice the ones you love? And it says they make that trip there, and they took the wood and the rope, and he laid the altar out, and he had Isaac on the altar. And as he's raising the knife to sacrifice his son, God says, hey, don't stop. I'm just testing you. You don't have to kill him. But I want to see if you're willing to give him up. And I've told this at some point before, I believe, and this is just my personal opinion. You can take it or you can throw it away if you don't like it. Okay, I'm going to clarify. This is my personal opinion. I believe in my heart that Abraham believed that even if he had to kill his son, that God would raise him back from the dead. That's the kind of faith he had in God. That if God was asking him to do that as a test, that he would be obedient. I believe he had that kind of faith in God. And we see where God stopped him. He didn't do that. Because God was just testing him. Abraham, do you really love me? Do you really love me more than the thing you love the most in this world? I think God asks us that all the time. Do you really love me more than your job? Do you really love me more than your possessions? Do you really love me more than your grandchildren? Do you really love me more than your addiction? Do you really love me more than these things that bring you pleasure? Do you really love me? And many times God will ask us to sacrifice these things to prove our love to him. But I know this one thing, that God has never asked me to give up one thing that he hasn't blessed me with. More things in return. Things to fill those voids. And many times he gave them back to me in a different way. What used to be a hindrance to me now becomes a testimony to me. What used to bring me down, now I help bring others out. God uses those things and he often gives them back to you. The third thing today I want to talk to you about is Abraham's greatest ministry would be in his next generation. This faith that he had was Abraham's greatest ministry would be in the next generation. And I want you to just to realize this, that Abraham didn't see all the promises that he thought, but man, his sons did. His sons did. His sons seen a lot of the things that God promised him. His sons and their sons received, generation after generation, received the promise that God had made to Abraham. And Abraham knew by faith that the greatest ministry would be in the next generation. And I believe that today, that can you just imagine? I think the greatest story is not necessarily almost Abraham sacrificing his son. But today I believe even the greatest story of this, Isaac's story. Think about Isaac. Abraham's over 100 years old here, probably about 120 years old at this time. And theologians believe today, as I studied it out, they believe that he was not 2 or 3, but he was about 17. They believe him to be 16 or 17 years old. Now, how many know that 16 or 17-year-old is probably going to be able to overtake a 120-year-old man? Now, just think about it. You know, you guys know. I mean, if Isaac really wanted to, he could have just said, hey, listen, old man, who do you think you're tying up, you know? I'll tie you up and put you up, you know. But Isaac was obedient. Isaac was obedient. Isaac knew that, listen, all right, Dad, you've got the wood and you've got the rope and we're going to do the sacrifice. But you've always brought a lamb before. You always brought a young goat before. You always brought something to sacrifice before. I don't see a sacrifice. And Dad, you're not acting the same this morning. Now, how many know that our kids, our students, they're a lot smarter than we give them credit for? I mean, you can't even figure out your cell phone. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Now, give it to me, Dad. Here you go. It's working. You can't even take a picture with a Polaroid camera, and they're like putting whole movies together, you know. So smart. And Isaac, you know, he was a smart cookie. He knew, this ain't adding up here. There's something going on. And when he lays down, and Dad begins to wrap the rope around him, all right, Dad, I think I'll just lay here. What's going to happen? We're having a weenie roast? What's happening here? He wasn't stupid. He knew what was going on. He knew that there wasn't going to be no marshmallows brought out. He knew that he was being called to be sacrificed. And he willingly laid down. Because I believe that in Isaac's heart, that there was a faith that he had seen grown through his dad. That he knew that Abraham had a faith, and he had passed it on to Isaac. And Isaac's like, you know what, Dad? If you say God's leading you, then I believe God's going to take care of the situation. And Isaac willingly laid himself on that altar. And where did he learn that obedience? Where did he learn that faith? From his father, from his mother. And we got to realize that our faith and the things that God does to us that and God's doing through us, that yes, you may not see every promise that you want seen in your heart, but I believe this, that our children are going to see even greater things. Listen to me as I speak to you this morning. Listen, Destiny Church, we're going to grow. We're going to go. We're going to make a great impact in this community. The best is yet to come, and we're about to make some great strides here as we're entering into our just finishing up our third year and entering into a new year. Well, I'm excited about what God's going to do. I'm a young guy, so there's still a lot of good years left in me. But I believe my children and your children are going to see even greater things. They're going to reap even greater benefits. Your faith. That our kids and grandkids are going to look back, and Carlos and Mike go, I remember my dad took your stages and lifted them up at the Holiday Inn. Walking around with a limp because they strained their back and they didn't have a place to meet. But yet they were, I can remember our kids are going to see great things and say, I remember when God brought us from the Holiday Inn and God opened up a miracle here and God opened up a piece of land in the future and we do this and that and people were saved and worship was taking place and lives put back together. Marriage is restored. Addiction broken. They're going to look back and even greater things are going to happen in their lives because of the faith of mom and dad. Of grandma and grandpa. Our children are going to see even greater things happen. Isaac was a product of that. Don't lose that in the story. Abraham's faith was just not his faith, but it was Isaac's as well. And mom and dad, realize today that when you decide to obey immediately, when you decide to say, you know what, I've got to put God first in my heart. I can't love anything else. I can't love any addiction, any pleasure, any hobby more than I love God. And when I do that first, your children are watching. The next generation is watching, and they're going to follow you. They're going to follow your attitude. They're going to follow what you instill in them. And I know in my heart, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for you and your house, we're going to serve the Lord. And together, we're going to see that next generation do even more. It says that Abraham seen it from afar. That's what it says in the scripture. It says that he didn't see it all happen in his day, but from afar, God revealed it to him. He opened up the heavens and allowed Abraham to see all the promises fulfilled through his children. I mean, can you imagine Abraham saying, boy, God, this is a lot better. I'm sure glad you decided to use Isaac. God, I'm sure glad you decided to use David that way. Oh, God, I'm sure glad you decided to use my lineage to bring Jesus Christ into the world. Yeah, this your plan's a lot better than my plan, God. I like this plan right here. Faith, and I pray today that Abraham's faith would challenge us to be obedient, learning to be obedient, doing what God's asked us to do. What has God asked you to sacrifice today? What's your Isaac today? What's my Isaac? What's your Isaac today? What are the things that God's asking you to do that you keep just, oh, I know I need to do it, but I just don't want to do it yet. I'll do it, but I'm just not ready yet. And I say today, sometimes you just got to jump, go for that rope. Because the more you let it swing, the further it gets away. The further it gets away from you. God's looking for immediate obedience. I pray that's where our heart is today. Let's bow our heads. Today, with all heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, I just want to ask you this question. If you're here and say, Pastor, you're talking about faith and God and giving up things, but I don't even have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If I was to be honest with you and say that if I died today, I don't even know if I would go to heaven. And as you're speaking today, I realize in my heart that I want to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I want to believe that He died on the cross for my sins. And I want to accept His love and forgiveness in my life. I want to make a decision for Christ. I will not embarrass you in any way, but I want to give you that chance to make that decision today. If you're here today, you say, that's me, Pastor. No one's looking, but I just want to raise my hand and say, today, I want to make Jesus Christ Lord of my life today. Accept Him as my personal Savior. Can you just raise your hand? No one's looking but me. Can you just raise it high where I can see it? Anybody here today? Raise your hand. That's you. Thank you. Anybody else today? That's you. Raise it one more time, can you? Thank you. Let's say this prayer together. Father, let's say it all together. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. Be Lord of my life. I believe you are the Savior of the world. God's only Son. I confess you as Lord of my life. I ask for forgiveness of my sins. I will follow you. If you prayed that prayer today, I want to say welcome to the family of God. Amen. Let's go ahead and give them a hand clap. Yeah. Before you leave, we have a special Bible in the back with some packages with a new Bible in there and some other things we want to give you, what to do next. That's free. We'll have that at the very back today. We'll have that ready for you to give to you when you leave. I'm going to invite you to stand with me today, and I want to ask you this question. With you looking, everybody looking around, I'm going to ask you a question, man. Just ask you to be honest. You say, Pastor, as you speak today, I realize in my life that I need to operate in better faith. I need to learn to be obedient quicker. I need to learn to give up some Isaacs in my life, some things that I have that God's asking me to do. I haven't done it yet. And as you're speaking today, I realize that God is wanting me to be quick to obey. If God spoke to you today, can you just raise your hand and say, it's me? Yeah, several hands. Anybody else today? Just being honest with each other. That's where it starts, right here. Just being honest right here before God and each other. Yeah, thanks for being honest, guys. Several hands going up. I believe today that God's going to deal with your heart and God's going to help you to jump after that rope. Go after that rope. Go after it and jump out and say, God, yeah, I'm going to give it up. God, I'm going to do this thing for you. And as you do that, I believe God's going to grow you in a way that you've never grown before. God's going to use you in a way you've never been used before because you're jumping out in the way you jumped out before. It's called immediate obedience. Father, today, I pray for every hand that was raised. He said, Father, we are dealing with things in our life that we need to give up, some things about being obedient. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's just something you've asked us to do and we haven't done it yet. But God, I pray for all those hands that were raised today who said they need to be to operate in better faith, quicker obedience, and say yes to what you're asking them to do. I pray right now, Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that today you would empower these people, Lord. You empower us as people of God to be quick to hear your voice and quick to respond and say yes to your will. I pray that your Holy Spirit would help us, Lord, to get rid of things they're asking us to get rid of. Help us to take leaps of faith. We've asked us to do that, God. Not to put our trust in other things of the world. But God, we would learn to trust you more than anything. We would learn to love you more than anything. We would learn, God, that our faith is in you and no one else. And when we do that, God, that brings freedom to our life. That brings freedom to our home. It brings freedom to our marriage. It brings freedom to our place of business. It brings freedom because our trust is not in man. Our trust is in you. Some will trust in chariots, but God, we're going to trust in you. Some will trust in presidents, but God, we will trust in you. Some will trust in money, but God, we will trust in you. And Father, that's our prayer today. Grow our faith in you. And we say together, amen and amen. God bless you today. We'll see you Wednesday night. If you want a baptismal CD, remember that's in the back. If you need instructions on what to do next, it's in the back. But make sure you let us know that you want to be baptized so we can put you on the list, okay? God bless you.